Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Hey, we're so happy that you're here with us, and we have just an absolute horror story of an interview coming up. How would you feel if all of your money were stolen? That happened to today's guest. And we're going to explain what that has to do with your money today. But first, if you've ever wondered if there were a way to capitalize on all that online chatter, the millions of investors on social media, your wait's over because the Buzz Index uses the same artificial intelligence techniques it's used by some of the world's most sophisticated hedge funds. That's now at your fingertips, and you can make their edge your edge. The Buzz Index trades under ticker symbol BUZ and looks at positive investor sentiment online. No surveys, no guessing. Instead, they just look at chatter all over the social media landscape. Want to learn more? Head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. Miranda?
And if you are looking to invest in your life, consider investing in life insurance to protect your family. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people. If you are a runner, a cyclist, a strength trainer, a vegan, or you engage in other healthy activities that lead to better health outcomes, you might be able to qualify for a lower price on your health insurance. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. Health IQ can save their customers up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and 58% lower risk of diabetes. Compared to those who are inactive. If you are looking for a life insurance quote, head on over to healthiq.com/moneytree to see if you qualify for lower rates.
And Desiree Patino joins us. Welcome, Desiree. Thank you for taking time out of your day for us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to start off with, because it seems like in your life, things were going really well. And then you enter into let's start the story from the very beginning. What were you doing at the beginning of the story that seemed to be going well before the train came off the rails?
Well, let's see. I was running a real estate business that I've had for over 25 years. I've sold over 6,000 properties. So I was a huge asset management firm and taking care of properties. And I was running a women's trade for Women the Housing Ecosystem.
So did things begin to go off the rails? Well, and you didn't know it at the time, Desiree, but was it a real estate transaction or was it a different type of transaction where things started to go bad?
Well, actually, it was a lady that seemed really well fitted for the job, hired her to come in and help take care of books because the previous people that were taking care of all the different books were moving on. And then within a couple of weeks, she was supposed to be going through her old taxes and preparing them for our bookkeeper, making sure that our taxes were done for the previous year. She noticed that banks were processing unsigned checks where, you know, you have the date, the payee, and the amount, and no signature on the bottom of the check.
Oh, no. So she brings in these checks and says, nobody signed these checks, but they appear to be being processed. What happens then?
Well, she didn't bring them in to us. She noticed them right away. She's thinking, oh, maybe I could do something and not say anything to anyone. So literally within 2 weeks, 3 weeks after her working here, she starts writing checks. To sum it up real quickly, we have a person writing checks. Some are actually valid checks that just didn't get my signature because I travel all over the United States. Most of them, though, are not valid. So all of a sudden, we have these checks going to 387 different forgeries. We have 140 unsigned checks. And we have money being initiated. I mean, what is initiated credit that's being issued to my business accounts to cover the debt? 3 weeks of her working here, our third son got acute leukemia. 5 days before that, my husband lost so much of his blood that he was in ICU and he coded on the night that he was admitted to the hospital. So you want to talk about heavy in the short. So here we are, two people, husband and one of our four sons, clinging on to life in a matter of 1 week. And here we have someone that's starting to skim off the top. So during the course of the next 3 years.
Well, actually, even before we get to that, Desiree, I want to stop for just a second because you said there were unsigned checks that she had noticed before. What were the unsigned checks that had been processed that she had noticed before that made her think that that was going to be okay, that she'd be able to get away with it? Were those just transactions where your signature wasn't required? What were those?
Let me give you a little background history. So when you sell a property for a bank, you have to take care of all the expenses up front, typically, like all the utility bills, the contractor bills, you know, paying for evictions, all that kind of stuff. So all those expenses. So we could process anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 checks a month. So those checks were legitimate checks that went out, but somehow in the course, there was no signature on those checks. So instead of the recipient taking the check and say, hey, there's no signature, they went ahead and just processed it through their account. As we were going through and investigating the case, we found that not only checks in 2013, 14, and 15 to where she was employed, that in 2012, there was actually unsigned checks that got processed too.
Gotcha. So you're saying that it is possible that she saw the fact that these checks were going through that probably shouldn't have gone through and said, oh, no, everybody's asleep at the wheel, is what you're saying. There's nobody paying attention to the bottom line here.
Absolutely. That's what we're figuring out, because there was 10 checks in 2012, and these were checks from major banks, small banks, all, everyone taking. You would think that the first line of defense, that recipient would not even clear that check.
Right.
But yes.
Wow. Okay. So, and sorry to stop you there. I just needed that clarification. So now your husband's having a horrible time. Your son has just, I mean, things are not going great. She's stealing money out the back door. Did you then find out, or did she continue stealing?
She continued stealing and taking the money. But the crux of it is people steal all the time. You know, it is what it is. The focus for me is that getting an entity, which is any depository, whether it be bank, credit union, or whatever, or a private person, there is no regulation on who's holding your money. For me to walk into a bank, or you to walk in a bank right now, you have to have a date, you have to have a payee, you have to have an amount, and you have to have a signature. Otherwise, they're not going to give you the money if you're trying to cash that check, correct?
Right, right.
So here we are in 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014, 2013.
They're cool.
They're saying that electronically, they don't have to be responsible for cashing your check. The state of California, the California business says, too bad. All the different federal agencies say, we don't have jurisdiction over it. And I'm saying, wait a second. Are you telling me we're going to protect you how you loan the money, but how you hold the money, you're not going to protect me? When someone tells you that I can be sued years down the road for not disclosing something, let's say in real estate, or you don't have a valid contract unless it's signed, or you don't have this, you can have implied, all that kind of good rules. But here we are in today's world, and you take a document unsigned that you don't have the sophistication to tell me that you can't do a magnetic reader to see if there's a signature of any type. I mean, I get forgeries as far as a
sure.
good forger,
right.
You know, something not looking quite right. But with all the technology, you and I can take in our phone and immediately have a signature recognition, or we can have is your space being occupied. These people took $550,000. That's over $500,000 because they can't look at every check. But this is the same bank that charged me over $400 in 1 month to, quote, analyze my account, supposedly making sure that my account is not being mishandled.
Right, right. That was my next question. It was $550,000 that ultimately was stolen from you.
Yep, that's a lot of money.
That is a ton of money, Desiree, and that just kills me. And when did you first find out, by the way? When did you first have an inkling that there was money going away?
January 14th, 2016, I got a phone call. Capital One told me that, hey, money is being transferred to a personal account. And I said, excuse me, I've never made a payment to you. Why would my money with my name on it going to your account? Found out for several months they knew about it. Cashing fraudulent checks going to them.
Duh.
And they didn't call me. And the very department that was set up for that did not do anything about it until they called me 7, 8, 9 months later.
So you find out it's this woman. It seems like there's probably a very clear paper trail that it's this woman. Anything happen along that route?
It took them 20 months to finally put her in jail. She's still currently, as we speak right now, in jail. But the crux is that it's not her who cashed a check. It's the bank who cashed a check. Yeah, she's the one who wrote the check. The point is that the bank is the ultimate, in my opinion, the one who actually processed the check. They're the ones that actually are accountable for my money that's in their account that they're supposed to be holding safe and protected.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I mean, like you said, if it were a fraudulent transaction, I could see that. But a bunch of transactions that don't have your name on it, and there's nothing that you can do. It seems like also there are protections on accounts, right? Like I said, PC insurance, none of that matters at all, you're saying?
The California Business Oversight oversees 341,000 licenses in the state of California. They have 137 for the normal banking and then 3 on the industrial. They have one person represented for each of the banks. Their job is to make sure that all the business licenses they oversee too. To answer your question, here we have a regulatory body that doesn't oversee how they hold your money. The Federal Reserve Board, the FDIC, the SEC, the OCC, because remember, this is a local bank. It is not a national bank. So you have where you deposit the check is round one, and where the money actually clears your account is round two of the line of defense.
Right, right. Two lines of defense, and they both missed it, that these checks are not even signed. Not forged, just not signed at all.
Well, you also had 387 checks that were forgery checks too. So you had $550,000 that combined unsigned checks, forgery checks, and what's even better. Let me ask you a question. What is initiated credit?
What is initiated credit?
Yes.
Oh, you mean when somebody initiates credit on your behalf. Right.
Have you ever seen it on any of your statements?
No, I'd never see it on my statement. I see it on my credit report, but I wouldn't see it on a statement.
Okay, so initiated credit is where a bank gave me money to cover the debt without my permission.
So you're saying that the bank initiated credit on your behalf, instead of calling you and saying, hey, these checks shouldn't clear, they're opening up credit to make them clear so they can loan you more money without asking you so they can clear the check? Is there any contract that they're pointing to now, or are they just saying, not my problem? It sounds like they're saying, not my problem.
You would think between all the people who touched the funds, who looked at the funds, who were responsible for the funds, that someone would have told me. My job at the time was not taking care of my business. My job was taking care of my son almost died 3 times. My husband almost died a couple of times also. Making sure that they were still alive was my top priority. So, you know, the very entity of people that you had employed for your financial assets and making sure that they were taken care of all failed from one level to another. How irresponsible is that?
What's the takeaway, Desiree? Because I'm sitting here thinking this is a cautionary tale. Obviously, a tale that you can't trust your bank, like a lot of people think that they should be able to trust their bank. But for somebody listening, is there something that you feel like you should have done that you didn't do? Is there some takeaway that people can say there's a system that they could put in place?
The takeaway for your listeners is that everyone looks at the documents they sign prior to putting their money into a holding account. Right now, like if you do an electronic deposit, there's no way they're going to accept an unsigned check because they're not going to cash the paper that has to have legitimacy that goes with it, right? Because you're taking a picture of your check and it goes to the system. And a lot of your big banks allow that. My point is when you go put your money somewhere, the banks make money, the depositories make money based on how they're going to keep your money and also process your money to loan your money. And that's a banking business. So the consumers need to know, and the business owners, that how we are held by our money, we need to change and bring that to the table. But those who are doing a great job, that's what I'm saying. You banks out there, you depositors that are killing it and doing a great job, you get an A+ in my book and we want to promote you. It's about the transaction of the entity you put your money into, whether they're actually doing the right service to you. Those who are taking care of business need to know. Those who are not taking care of business, they need to clean up that mess.
I think that there's obviously a lot more to come, but for today, I think that's as good a place to leave it as any. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because you're the CEO and president of Women in the Housing and Real Estate Ecosystem, and I should ask you about that. What's happening there? Because I know you're very much on the move over there, too.
Thank you. We are the gender lens and for women's independence and the, like you said, the housing and real estate. So whether we're speaking at the United Nations, whether we're traveling around the United States, making sure that women's gender equality is on the forefront, on making sure on how you get loans. We're celebrating 30 years that you didn't have to be have a male co-signer this year. We're also selling the Fair Housing Act of 50 years this year. So it's a very, very big deal on making sure that we have a seat at the table from a C-suite woman to women's poverty. And to leave you in something that's pretty heart-wrenching is that women millennials are living 37% higher under the women's under poverty line than ever before in any generation.
Wow.
37% higher. And yet we have higher degrees, higher pay, you know, between the student debt and between the impact of what's going on. You know, picking career fields that don't pay that well is really a sad state of affairs. So we're here about championing that impact, but more importantly, bringing opportunities in business to make you sustainable in the women's realm or small businesses. So that's what we do over here in this world.
And I'll link to Women in the Housing and Real Estate Ecosystem in our show notes at moneytreepodcast.com. Desiree, please come back and let us know the end of this tale. And I hope it goes very, very well for you from here on out. Although going up against banking, my head just goes, oh my goodness, it's an uphill battle.
It won't be done for several years, but it's already getting some traction. And as companies, podcasts, and organizations like yourself that are taking this to heart and bringing it to the table, especially we want to impact the local people, because what happened to us should never happen to anyone else. So thank you very much for hearing us out, and we can get this story out there.
Wow, that was quite the interview, quite the interview. But before we get into the panel discussion, let's talk a little bit about life insurance and covering your family. Health IQ offers discounts on life insurance to those who qualify through healthy lifestyle choices. Health IQ is not a life insurance broker or an insurer. They're a life insurance agency. They offer exclusive rates that can help people who qualify through a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes that show your healthy and active lifestyle. You can also get additional savings by submitting actual data about your situation, including your Runkeeper or Strava app data. Health IQ's advantage is their unique mortality model on the health conscious, and they have low rates for health conscious people, just like good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have a unique underwriting process that replaces things like BMI with waist to hip ratio and cholesterol calculations. If you are looking to save between 4 and 33% on your life insurance, head on over to healthiq.com/moneytree to see if you qualify for discounted life insurance.
I always love the fact that being a runner, Miranda, finally has come in. All that pain is finally going to help me.
Right. Yeah. See, I can't get into it, but I like to swim. So maybe that'll help me.
Well, there it is. Just keep your swimming records. Send them your swim trunks. Maybe that will help you get lower rates on your insurance. I don't know. Hey, if you've ever wondered if there were a way to capitalize on all that online chatter of all the people you see talking about stocks on social media, your wait's over, because the Buzz Index uses that same artificial intelligence that's used by some of the world's most sophisticated hedge funds. It's licensed to an exchange-traded fund and trades under ticker symbol BUZ. The Buzz Index provides investors with a portfolio of securities that show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. There are no surveys. There's no guessing. Instead, Buzz targets the most mentioned large U.S. stocks across the social media landscape. And the more active the conversation, the greater the reliability of the buzz. Each of the most mentioned stocks is given an insight score based on Buzz's proprietary analytics. And the 75 stocks that had the most bullish score, those get included in the Buzz Index. Each month, the Buzz is tracked to capture the latest big data-driven insights, and you can use it to invest in the wisdom of the crowd. Head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ for a link to the Buzz Index and more information. That's moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. By the way, I invest in the Buzz Index. Doesn't make it right for you, but I have to have that disclaimer as part of this piece. Well, there's no disclaimer on today's interview because, man, is that a gut wrencher. And let's talk to our panel about it, as we do here each and every week. We'll start off down in Palm Springs, where my good friend Linda P. Jones joins us.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm not so good after I heard that. How about you?
Gosh, gut-wrenching, wasn't it? I feel so badly for Desiree.
I know. Got $500,000 you want to give to somebody? Oh, probably boy. Not. Yes.
So sad. And it sounds like her son and her husband pulled through that. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, health beats money any day. And somebody who's a healthy swimmer on this podcast, Miranda Marquette.
Well, I'm not as healthy as I'd like to be, but I'm getting there. I'm so excited to to be feeling better and healthier already in 2018.
No, that is good. And I wish Desiree's bottom line was healthier. Let's talk about this. You know, clearly she knows that there were some checks and balances that she didn't have in place that she now regrets. Let's talk about your checks and balances. How do you make sure, Linda P. Jones, something like this doesn't happen with your money?
Well, I think there are things you can do, but one thing that I'm very diligent about, it's a simple thing anyone can do and everyone should do, and that's just looking at my statement every month. And I look at it specifically for fraud, believe it or not. I look to see if there's like a $1 charge, because a lot of times people can put through a $1 charge. People not authorized to do so can get a hold of your credit cards or other cards and charge $1 just as a test. And if that goes through, then they put through a bigger charge and a bigger charge. So I have caught fraud on credit cards before, and it is something I specifically look for. And I think everyone just has to be aware and conscious of it and looking for it every month.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, somebody will hear an interview like this, Linda, and they think it's those big charges that kill you. But I've heard this from security experts that they usually do what you're talking about. They go in really small. So looking at those little charges is definitely the place to begin.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, a lot of people overlook that because they are looking for, oh, was there some big thing, yeah. You know, but no, it's the little test to look for. I mean, anything that you just can't put your finger on that doesn't look like something that you charge, something, you know, something was charged in China or something, that, because oftentimes those fraudulent charges happen overseas. So, you know, just really looking closely at your statement and not just assuming everything's okay. I think that's important to do every month.
Yeah. I mean, in this case, Miranda, this was in her backyard, but what do you do to check out and see that there's nothing bad going on with your bank statement?
Yeah. So I actually, you know, I have a lot of automated things, as we know from the past. I automate everything from charity contributions to retirement account contributions to my travel fund contributions to my son's 529 to the insurance. Everything is pretty much automated. Even my power bill, it's all automated, but you still have to watch out for things because, as Linda says, you never know when there's fraud involved or if there are mistakes. There have actually been mistakes in the way that, like, my income has been deposited. There have been mistakes in the way certain things have been direct debited. And so watching for those mistakes is important. And one of the things I do is for 15 minutes every Sunday evening before the new week starts, I sit down and just scan everything, just scan through everything, make sure all of the stuff has come out right, and just sort of do a quick scan. And it only takes, like I said, about 15 minutes because I do this each week. And if I've spent some money throughout the week, I save all the receipts. And then I just go through and quickly add them into my personal finance software to like just keep track of everything. So it's this kind of this system that just allows me to just check everything every week.
Well, I think you have to. I think automation, to your point, makes it easier, but automation left on its own makes it far easier for scammers to go in and do whatever they want. I mean, clearly Desiree had kind of an automated system that her helper figured out that, you know, there's nobody watching. So why not take advantage of the situation?
Right. And then the other thing I do is like, Linda, I check my statements. So the last Sunday of the month, I take an hour and I go through and I actually still reconcile all of my account statements. That's right. I still reconcile my account statements. And it takes me about an hour, but it's an hour well spent. And so I spend less than 2 hours a month managing my money, but I can stay on top of it, which is really good.
Yeah, Cheryl and I use a system where once a week we have a meeting like you, Miranda. It's a short meeting and it's also about 15 minutes. We prefer to do it over one of two things, over breakfast or over wine. I tend to prefer the over wine, but not if it's 7 o'clock in the morning, then we'll do breakfast. So it just kind of depends on the time of day. But I love the meeting because even though we don't reconcile the complete statement, we use this app called Clarity Money. We walk through Clarity Money and we look at our bills. And you know what's amazing? Almost every week we find either a mistake or something that was omitted, and it never seems to be in our favor, right? It always seems to be in somebody else's favor but ours, and it allows us to kind of avoid this issue. I mean, clearly Desiree had some bigger fish to fry with her son's issue and her husband's issue, but I think having some type of a system like that can stop a lot of us from hopefully having that same problem.
So Joe, I'm not familiar with Clarity Money. I don't mean to like make a commercial out of it, but could you just explain how it works, please?
What's cool is that Clarity Money, I think last week was purchased by Goldman Sachs as they try to get more into the consumer market. So Clarity Money was created by Adam Dell, the brother of Michael Dell. It's this cool app that's a lot like Mint, but it's much less granular. So it does a really good job of showing you your expenses. Like I'll get notifications. You spent X number of dollars this week. That's either more or less than you usually spend. It doesn't make judgment statements, but I certainly give it judgment because I know how much I should spend each week. And when I get that notification, it tells me. It also tells me, it picks out certain data every time that I fire it up. Sometimes it'll tell me, this is how much money you spent on entertainment in the last week. Other times it'll show me, this is how much I spent at the grocery store in the last week. So it'll take one section of my budget and it'll focus on that. But I can also press little buttons and I can get granular. It's much like Mint, but for me, the interface is a lot easier to use. I hate to say that it's dumbed down and that's why I like it better, because that doesn't make me sound very smart.
No, it means it's simple to use. But can you give us an example of something that was an error that you caught that it helped you find it?
Yeah. So just this last week, and it's funny because there are some weeks we don't have our weekly meeting. So this is a cautionary tale, not nearly to the size of Desiree's, but I had a situation where I noticed last week this recurring charge for Norton. And inside of Clarity Money, they will look for recurring charges for you if you want, and then they'll split the money that they save you. So I save money on we still have cable. That's a whole different episode. So I save money on my cable. They've saved me money in other areas of my life, but they totally missed this Norton subscription. I moved over a year ago to Max. So probably for the last year, maybe for the last 2 years, I've had this annual subscription to Norton that we didn't have our meeting that week and I totally missed it. And using Clarity Money this week, I totally saw this charge that I would have missed had we not had the meeting and had I not had an easy way to flip through my expenses.
So then you were able to call Norton and say, we don't use your service anymore. Please credit us back. And they did?
Heck no. I like those people. I'm going to yes, of course. Yeah. Actually, it was cool because we cut it within the week. And so they refunded the money. So that was great.
Perfect.
But that's just, you know, that scan that Miranda talks about, I think that's really important. I think also, Linda, looking for those little tiny charges. This wasn't a little charge. You know, a one-year subscription to Norton was fairly expensive. So lunch is on me next time we're together. Far prefer to do it that way. Let's talk about the bank for a second, because, you know, Desiree's big point here is that the bank shares some culpability, and I want to peel these off one at a time. What about this idea of unsigned checks? You think, Linda, she's got something there?
Absolutely. I have never heard of a bank cashing an unsigned check in all my years of living on this earth. Going to the bank, if everything wasn't exactly filled out correctly, a bank would never cash a check. So I'm shocked. I'm appalled. I think there's obviously something very fishy going on at the bank. And, you know, with what we've had to deal with Wells Fargo and, you know, that gets more into the credit that they issued for her. So we can talk about that in a minute. But I think this is very unusual and definitely the bank bears culpability here.
Yeah. And it's weird, Miranda, because to Desiree's point, you know, if she bounces something, they're more than happy to charge her a fee. They're more than happy to charge her fee on top of fee on top of fee. Yet they do something as big as this and the bank is saying, nope, not my problem.
Yeah. And that's a huge deal. I mean, there's a reason why we're supposed to sign checks. And I mean, that's just beyond the pale. And I kind of know what it's like a little bit to fight a bit with the bank, you know, just before Christmas last year. My debit card number was stolen and somebody raided my account for $1,500. I hope they had a kick-ass Christmas. But, you know, I mean, a court, because the law protects you against fraud. I did get that $1,500 back.
You did get it back.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, during that time, right, I found out the money was missing because an automatic payment I had made to a charity was returned. And so they were like, hey, this has been returned. And I was like, that's weird. So I looked at my account and saw that it was negative. And yeah. And so that started the whole situation. I called the bank and we talked about it and everything. But the problem came because while this was all happening and before I got the money put back and while this, you know, before everything was coming back, there were still these automatic things coming in. There was still stuff happening and there were still charges being rung up, right? And
right.
And when you sit here and you're wondering, well, what happens when people get behind? How do they ever catch up? I honestly don't know because I'm looking at this and everything from like the $5 tea and biscuit or whatever that I got at the coffee shop resulted in a $38.50 charge, right? All of these charges are adding up. So really the thing that took the longest was fighting with the bank over who was going to be responsible for, you know, almost $1,000 in charges and in fees by the time this was all over. I mean, it was insane. It's just soul crushing and you don't have access to your account. You don't have access to your money. You know, half my, you know, when the money gets deposited, it's gone because it's covering all the fees. It's just, you know, in the end, we just split it 50-50 as far as the fees were concerned. But it was still just a nightmare. And it took 3 weeks to resolve.
Boy, that'll put a pit in your stomach.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot imagine. Plus having to explain to people that you can't get the money today. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, that brings up another thing, which is having multiple accounts.
Yes.
Because one of my clients, this happened this
a lifesaver for me.
Yes, exactly. One of my clients last week wrote an email that their bank had a problem, an electronic problem, and the bank went down. The ATM wasn't working. Checks weren't being deposited. Paychecks weren't being deposited, auto deposited. It was a real problem and there was no access to funds for at least 24 hours. And then they finally got the debit cards working again, but ATMs still weren't working. Anyway, long story short, I ended up doing a podcast about why you need to diversify and have at least more than one bank account. And what I ended up thinking was that having a brokerage account and using the savings account and the brokerage account plus your checking banking account is a good alternative because you can do an electronic funds transfer from your brokerage account to your bank account or wherever you are. That really gets you out of kind of the traditional banking system. So I think that it's wise for people to think about diversification of accounts.
That's a great idea. You know, a lot of the major firms, their brokerage accounts even come with drafts, you know, that have some rules attached to how and when you can use the drafts, the checks that are attached to it. But that gives you some instant liquidity there too. I want to ask about this idea of banks opening credit for you. And the sad thing is, I know that, you know, banks have this automatic overdraft that when you open up a bank account, you have to check that you don't want them to do that on your behalf because they will, you know, if you go a dollar over, they'll charge you $40 for the convenience of having this overdraft protection. Do you think this is how the bank is covering themselves with this? Any insight into how a bank can open this account in Desiree's name so that they can continue to clear these fraudulent checks? Linda, any idea?
Well, this to me reminded me of the Wells Fargo problem that happened over the last several years. And that was that they were opening accounts without people's knowledge. So yeah. They were trying to meet goals within the bank, and they were opening, you know, all kinds of different accounts without telling people. This kind of reminded me of that, like, oh, well, let's just open this other account for you without telling you. And yes, it can get people into a lot of trouble, and it's not something that they want. It's not something they approved or asked for. I think it definitely, just this whole thing. I mean, if I were Desiree, I would probably talk to my attorney about looking at a bigger banking picture, because if there's a pattern within banks, maybe there's something bigger going on here. There's just so many red flags all over this. It's astounding and it's frightening. Something's just not right. This isn't the banking system I used to know.
No,
it used to be very accurate. It used to be very precise. And this is very loose, and a lot of very shady things happening here.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like there's something the banking system does not want, or the bank is covering up. Doesn't it feel like that?
Yeah,
and the thing that's kind of surprising to me is the way they arrange matters so that you can keep doing this, right? So, like, even though I had no money in my account, they kept, you know, and even though I, you know, didn't really have much in the way of overdraft protection, they still kept letting charges go through and then charging me fees. And so I think that that's, you know, part of the issue. If you look at how much banks, the banking industry is making in fees each year, it's billions of dollars. And that's from like overdraft fees alone. You know, you think about that and this whole opening the account and the name. I mean, it's just sort of, it feels like a shady way to like keep allowing the money to keep coming in and enriching them, even though something's a little bit off and they probably know something's a little bit off.
Yeah, I think there's clearly more to the story. And I also want to caution people. I mean, we're all aware that we're hearing one side of the story, right? I'm sure the bank has a different side of the story that we didn't hear on this interview. And we need to keep that in mind also. But good luck to Desiree, and I hope that this works out well for her. I think that's going to do it for today, guys. Let's talk about what's going on where you live. Miranda, what's happening at Planting Money Seeds and Adulting.tv?
At Adulting.tv, we have started a series of Facebook Lives every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. You can go and check that out. We recently did one on how to open an IRA for your kids. So it also includes how to open an IRA for yourself, but it really focuses on opening an IRA for your kids. So if you're interested in that, head on over to the adulting.tv Facebook page and check out that video where you can watch me show you how my son, who is 15 years old, has more in his retirement account than many 30-year-olds.
Wow.
Awesome.
Hey, that's
I'm loving
cool.
that.
That is fantastic. Can he put money in my account too now?
No. Did he do it without crypto?
No. He awesome. Did it without crypto. Well, you know, it's all about having that IRA and everything like that. So
yeah. Linda, what's happening at Be Wealthy and Smart?
Well, on this topic that we talked about today, I think there's two podcasts people might be interested in. One that I referenced earlier is called 5 Tips for Emergency Cash Management, about diversifying by bank account and other accounts. And then 6 tips to paying your bills on time and avoiding late fees. So those might be something that, if this is along the lines of what you're thinking, might be a podcast to listen to over at Be Wealthy and Smart.
That's awesome.
About stacking Benjamins. What's going on with you?
We're talking to a gentleman, Billy B, who went to jail. And this story of him going to prison is horrible. He was implicated in killing a friend of his, really has worked hard to turn his life around. And over the 6 years since he's been out of prison, he's accumulated more than $500,000 net worth and really shows the power of second chance. So a fantastic story. Just again, another gut-wrenching story, but you'll find that at Stacking Benjamins. So that's going to do it for today, everybody. Let's roll on out of here with the usual from Miranda. I got goosebumps, Miranda. Do it.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast this week. Don't forget to subscribe so that every week you can receive a little present on your device. It just sneaks in there and it appears to you. It's like Christmas every Friday morning. So make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher, and any other device that allows you to find podcasts. We also would like to remind you to head over to moneytreepodcast.com where you can find more resources and information about the panelists, our guests, and where you can look at the archive of our episodes and listen to information about how to get started investing and manage your money wiser. And remember, no one will take care of your money as well as you do, so invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.